Welcome to the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. Each episode, the CREXI team dives into a broad range of topics to investigate trends, educate listeners, and understand the latest industry news. As the nation's fastest growing online CRE platform, we're excited to provide a window into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you all for joining us for this episode of the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm your host, Ashley Kobovich, Regional Director at CREXI, and we are thrilled to sit down with Jade Shanker, broker at Serhant. A little bit about our guest. Jade Shanker is a New York City socialite and strategist who's made her name as an NAR Top 30 Under 30 real estate advisor and investor. After managing over $550 million, that's wrong, so sorry, I'm going to redo that, top 550, okay. After managing over $500 million in luxury assets, Jade joined the Serhant team, focusing on commercial, investment, and ultra-luxurious unique assets. Jade's high-profile clients include athletes, Grammy-nominated producers, LVMH brands, Dom Perignon, Netflix actors, and fashion icons. Raised by New York City real estate developers, she served as a board member for planning and zoning committees. Her media team's combined platform currently hits around 20 million viewers nationwide. Jade, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you.
Also, I think I was using CREXI, like, as I was in the elevator, I was, like, loading, and I was like, okay, crap, why isn't this loading? And I was like, ah, I'm in the elevator. Duh.
Our app is fantastic. This is not a plug for CREXI, but the app is fantastic. Our good brokers and agents are using it all the time, so I love to hear that.
Oh, my God, it's the best. Thank you. Thank you for doing it, really.
Of course. We are here to serve. Well, thank you so much for having the time to sit down with us and tell our viewers all of the insights that you have. Ooh. So first and foremost, I know we just covered your background, but I'd love to briefly hear more about your career path and lessons that you've learned along the way. So start from the beginning. Tell us more about where you're from and how you got first started in commercial real estate.
That is such a great question. So I am a New Yorker. I was born in the Upper East Side. And I got started mostly because my family, my father's father, my entire family are developers.
Okay.
So growing up, when I was 15, I used to go through the Village Voice to look for multifamily deals. My dad, you know, at the dinner table, we used to go through Craigslist ads and try to figure out anything that was for sale by owner. And after college, I decided to move to New York to actually be on a project.
Sure.
It was something that was owned by my family. It was very low risk. And it was my first chance to get to try out, okay, like, things that I thought were going to work. So I was like, okay, let me bake some cookies. Let me see how I can get these tenants to like me and pay rent. Cookies did not work. No.
Nope.
No, it didn't. And I saw a gap in the market. Mm-hmm. It was East Village. And there's so many people who come from all over the world. And they were having issues getting rental apartments. So I was like, okay. And this is like 2014.
Okay.
So I started developing an international presence through Facebook Marketplace and started developing a very strong international client base as far as like rentals. And, and then it started trickling into commercial retail spaces.
Okay.
And then from there, I was able to increase the rents for the building by almost 50%. So some real numbers from about $4,000 a month and increasing them to an average of $7,500 a month. So I just repeated that method over the course of my career and started connecting with owners. Mostly was direct, but then I started working for an incredible management company and just rinsed and repeated my methods. Over the course of, what year is it? It's 2023, so 9 years. And it's been pretty successful.
That's amazing. I mean, we'll talk about this more in depth in a little bit, but using social media and using your brand and making sure that your name is out there and getting in touch with more and more people, whether that's tenants, whether that's owners, yeah. I mean, that's the whole name of the business. Mm-hmm. It's all about who you know, especially in real estate mm-hmm. and commercial real estate, you know. So using that method, we'll dive a little bit more into it, but obviously has been so successful for you. What were some of your early mentors, early lessons that you learned, whether it was maybe even later on in your career or first starting out, that have become invaluable and kind of shaped who you are and your career path today?
Oh, wow. So my father, and I think everything comes down to the way that you're raised, because they're, sure. they're core beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I always think that there's a way to get something done. Yep. Even right now, you know, it's probably one of the most interesting time frames as far as commercial real estate, a lot of loans maturing, a lot of high vacancy rates. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity, and I just think there's always, where there's a will, there's a way. So, you know, sure. whether it's a building that's been on the market, you know, for years, you know, we've so far been very successful in restructuring projects in a different way, in a way that people have not marketed a building before. So I think getting creative is the new way to do things. Mm-hmm. And all to say, where there's a will, there's a way. It may take time, it may take money, but if you have the heart and you have the passion, you can get it done.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And just getting creative, especially in this market, is mm-hmm. huge, right? Massive. Everything that's going on, you have to be creative. So how did you kind of come about with that creativity? What made you learn it? Obviously, your dad figuring out and instilling where there's a will and a way, but were there any downsides? So were there any favorite mistakes that maybe you've made that you really learned from and kind of propelled you forward?
Oh my God. I think I try to make as many mistakes as on the daily as possible.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and some people think I'm crazy. I mean, I think like even going on TikTok and, mm-hmm. and talking about things, mm-hmm. you know, would the average real estate agent go on TikTok and talk about real life things? Probably not.
Right.
And I think that, that there's going to be a lot of people that turns off. But mm-hmm. I think that at the same time, you know, it works, you know?
Sure.
I think it's all about trying to figure out what the end goal is. And I mean, I try to fail forward. That's, mm-hmm. that's something that, I don't know. So sorry to go back to your question. I fail a lot.
Yeah.
With stupid things, you know? I would just say, like, with social media, just trying to figure out things and through that figuring out what works and your niche through that.
Absolutely. I picked up a lot on that and truly believe. So you say fail forward. I also say fail fast.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm trying something new, I want to try as much as possible, fail fast so that I can figure out what works. Right. And then I was watching another podcast and they can say, you can go on social media and you can, you know, post all these beautiful photos and put your best foot forward. And that's going to impress people, but you're not really going to connect with anyone. Right. And connecting mm-hmm. with people is sharing those vulnerable moments, sharing those mistakes and being able to say, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what I've learned. And those are going to be the connections and, you know, what's going to propel you forward. So kind of using that, I love that yeah. you're sharing that with people. And then that's absolutely opening up your world.
Yeah. Actually, now that we're talking about it, I just thought about probably one of my best failures. Mm. So this was also in like 2015, 2016 era.
Sure.
And we had a retail space that was very boutique. Mm-hmm. And it was something that it was a project of mine. It was very, very low overhead. So I was happy to take on a risk. And, you know, I'm fairly young. I think I just graduated college or mm-hmm. I was in the later stages of that.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, what can I do here? And I think I connected with like local place and I was like, all right, let's have like a garage sale. Let's do all mm-hmm. of these things. Cause, I was happy to take the risk on paying the rent.
Right.
And I actually ended up reaching out to a company that I wanted to invest in, invest partnership. So, the proposal that I had given her was, you know, I would cover the rent and I would want a piece of her company, mm-hmm. but in exchange, you know, I'll provide the retail space. And the company is now, I I think it might be publicly traded. Let me Google. It's wild. She's doing, have you heard of Smart Suites?
I have not.
Okay, so next time you go to Whole Foods.
Okay.
Look at the aisle whenever you're checking out, and okay. It's like the low calorie suite. So it was her. I'd reach out
amazing.
To her after her incubator program, and I'm like trying to get equity in a company that like now is a $1 billion company. I think she, yeah. But I think it always goes to say like just trying out stuff and like getting creative. I mean,
that's hands down the exact example of getting creative.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't work, but. But now I look back and I'm like, okay, I wish that happened.
But that's okay. You know, you took a risk and you tried something out where some people might have been too timid or too scared to, you know, put themselves out there or wouldn't even think about doing something like that. So that obviously is just one of the things that probably separates you as an agent mm-hmm. and, you know, a broker and things like that for your clients as well. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. So with that, obviously, being creative, going outside of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. those clearly are tenets that you work into, you know, your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. What other maybe tenets of your work ethic maintain today? So maybe that's daily habits or practices or rituals, whether that's in commercial real estate mm-hmm. or in just your day-to-day life. Give our listeners a little bit of insight there.
Oh, wow. That's a really I love that question. So my ritual is mm-hmm. Friday nights. I like Clockworth. I always go out and I just walk around town. Mm. So I'm based in Greenwich Village. Okay. So, you know, sometimes I go north, west, south, east, whatever. And I just visualize and I try to think, okay, you know, what is going on with this neighborhood? It's a Friday night. Mm-hmm. So are there certain blocks that are getting a little bit more successful? Sure. Are there businesses that, you know, probably realistically are not going to last? Mm-hmm. And I try to take note of that. And, you know, normally I end the walk with a nice little wine and my laptop. And,
sure.
you know, I take notes of all of the owners and attributes. And I think just like, you know, it's part relaxing, but also, you know, figuring out what's going on with the general neighborhood and the market and mm-hmm. and actually being the boots on the ground.
Right.
You know, they have a saying that, you know, if you want to figure out if a business is going to succeed, ask your 16-year-old daughter what she thinks about it. And it's really interesting because, you know, I think right now, obviously, it doesn't always apply to real estate, but I think in certain sectors, especially when we think on like the SoHo and the retail market, mm-hmm. It is really interesting because there are a lot of businesses that, you know, raise a lot of capital and, you know, they go into certain spaces and the sad truth is, you know, they're dealing with a broker who, you know, doesn't really know the market that well and doesn't know the demographic. And if you don't know the demographic in certain areas, then you can't really advise your client properly.
Right. I love that. You have to be the expert mm-hmm. in your market. So constantly, I mean, you've been doing this for how many years, right? But mm-hmm. you're still every single Friday making sure that you're canvassing, mm-hmm. making sure that you're walking around, you're seeing what the differences are. So never get complacent, mm-hmm. right? Always be learning, always be out there.
And making it fun.
Yeah, it's
you know,
fun.
Like
make
a little
it
reward, you know, laptop and my wine is like, it's literally what makes my Friday night.
Right, absolutely. And I'm sure you take your Crexie app with you and you look at all the owners
all of the
buildings. Because we have the contact information, little Crexie pun there. But,
yeah.
you know, take it around with you. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally the best thing ever. And I love that your app literally will tell me exactly where I am. And, like, I can just pull the owner straight from it. It's yep. so great.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I love to hear how extensively you're using it. Any Crexie user out there definitely should be taking tutorials from Jade right here.
I charge. My rates are very high, but you can shoot me an email.
I love it. Moving into our second topic and kind of fast forwarding to today, I'd love to ask more in-depth questions about your current career at Sirhant. I'm going to do that again.
No, that's okay.
So moving into our second topic and fast forwarding a little bit more to today, I'd love to ask some in-depth questions about your current career at Sirhant. So much of your experience has been a very, very exciting blend of both residential and commercial, focusing on luxury and high-end clients. So tell us more about what that's like. So what are some differences, some similarities between working with clients like celebrities or luxury brands versus something like a Walgreens or an investor in Dollar General?
I think that's a great question. And I always get reminded of sort of what makes a city, you know, what mm-hmm. makes an economy. And, you know, I think that the Walgreens and the Duane Reades, the Whole Foods are so imperative, especially, you know, if you want any sort of community to thrive and mm-hmm. to be very walkable, they're right. needed. You know, I think that it all comes down to competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, throughout my life, I love people. And I think that I've developed a very niche and a very niche clientele when it comes to owners, buyers, renters in markets that, you know, celebrities or, you know, influencers. Sure. And I think it's just about relationship. So, mm-hmm. so understanding what I can do for them, what's needed.
Sure.
I think that it's interesting because I think that when it comes to like a traditional method, it's great. I think most people can do it and it's fantastic and it's probably a little bit more analytical. I think that whenever you're dealing with a client who wants to be treated a certain way. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about the lifestyle and different things that you can provide. You know, a lot of the contacts that I have are off market or mm-hmm. or they're very private. So keeping that relationship very near and dear to my heart.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I kind of heard a lot of similarities with the same clientele, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be understood and to mm-hmm. be heard and what is my priority and kind of asking those right questions and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So, you know, celebrities, they're just like us, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of all of that and you being able to have all of the broad range and be able to put that into your life of meeting new clients mm-hmm. is paramount.
Yeah, I think it's also about honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, time is very valuable mm-hmm. and understanding what somebody really wants.
Exactly.
You know, I always say I feel like there should be more women in commercial real estate because I do think that culturally, you know, the feminine approach is a little bit more you know, they listen a little bit more mm-hmm. and more in tuned with the emotional aspect.
Sure.
And I think it's beneficial when it comes to listening and understanding what a client needs and, yep. and really wants. Sometimes they won't say it because they don't understand it, but being able to really listen and, mm-hmm. and provide that is extremely important, at least from my experience. I don't know.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. Being able to listen to a client, understand exactly what they want, regurgitate that back to them, making them feel heard is really, really important. Mm-hmm. So having that feminine advantage, I think, is a really good thing for us.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, as a broker, how would you build and maintain these client relationships, right? That's the most important thing from a ton of different people that I talk to, but you are amazing at cultivating them, maintaining those personal relationships. Are there any tactics or strategies that you use to employ or create your impressive network? So do you do any cold calling, networking, any tips or tricks in staying top of mind for these yeah. folks?
Well, I think cold calling that's always a must.
Yep.
And I have, I'm extremely talkative. So whether you're, you know, a 30-year-old who just purchased something or you're a 97-year-old who just wants company and mm-hmm. wants to talk to someone, I can talk your ear off. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, I'm really big on my contact book. So I think I've had the same contact book since I was maybe 16.
Okay.
And what I do is whenever I save someone's contact, so if I'm out, mm-hmm. you know, I try to go to a lot of events. So mm-hmm. whether it's Art Basel or Fashion Week, I try to stay in the know and And I'll always tag someone's name. Mm-hmm. So if I met someone, you know, in Fashion Week and there was something really unique about them, mm-hmm. You know, I'll tag them just in case, you know, something comes up where I'm like, okay, this person loves high ceilings. You know, we got drunk and we spoke about that for 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, next time I'm looking at something and I'm like, oh my gosh, who was that person that loved the industrial feel, that mm-hmm. loved, you know, whatever we were talking about, I'll go in my phone book and find it and, you know, I'll message them. I think that's
sure.
one very unique way that people think I'm crazy for. The second way is through social media. So,
sure.
You know, I'm very cognizant that there's mm-hmm. so many agents
yep.
and there's so many people that you talk to on the daily.
Right.
So I think that, you know, I think that I've been very fortunate and very good at staying top of mind because, you know, I connect with them on social media and mm-hmm. we check in. You know, sometimes, you know, we're both at the same event, you know, we're both doing things. And then mm-hmm. and then also on the other hand, you know, I try to cultivate a lot of different hospitality relationships. And
sure.
if, you know, I can provide something for a client or if I can connect them with someone that may be beneficial to their business or their yes. lifestyle, then I try to do that. So, you know, I just try to be a good friend to anyone that I meet. And if we can be client or if they could be a client later, fantastic. But you know, if our relationship is just getting coffee every now and then or getting a Friday night wine, that's also cool too.
That's awesome. I love to hear that because you put kind of a friend first mentality mm-hmm. almost, right? Some people are definitely like, what can you do for me or how can I benefit you in this moment? Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of building that relationship, understanding what they're looking for, writing that down. I think that CRMs are huge. If you're using your phone book or mm-hmm. your contact sheet, or if you have a formal CRM system, I think mm-hmm. that making sure that you're writing down and taking notes is absolutely key. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about that person, you know, when that comes up, because that's going to go such a long way. So I love to hear that. Are you using anything in terms of a CRM or like just writing things in your phone? How do you kind of keep track and organized?
Yeah, so we have an internal CRM with the okay. company. But prior to that, I was using a very popular CRM called Monday.com,
okay.
which a lot of people use.
Yep.
And then recently, you know, I'm always trying to figure out what is the best new database or
sure.
you know, way to keep in contact. And I mean, why I love Crexy so much is because you guys make it really, really easy to connect with different owners.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the only time that I really go outside of that is, mm-hmm. you know, for random people who I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I met, you know, so-and-so at this event. Okay, let me pop them into this. So,
right.
So I also started using, there's another one that is new. I don't know if I like it yet, but it's supposed to integrate commercial real estate with a little bit of AI.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm experimenting, but when it comes to investors, I am tried and true to using Crexy.
Awesome. I love to hear that. I promise it wasn't another pun or plug for us.
No, I'm honest. But I'm very honest.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. How do you create the most value for your clients? So obviously your former experience as a successful property manager in luxury product types has, you know, transitioned to your business. So how do you continue to bring value to your clients, have them transact with you multiple times over? Any tips or tricks for our listeners?
I think one is always staying on top of the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So understanding what's going on with the economy, because, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that repeat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to understand different trends that's going on and how they affect real estate in general, I think you're able to provide a lot of insight for clients. You know,
sure.
I think whenever we talk commercial real estate, there's so many different subsectors,
mm-hmm.
and understanding, you know, understanding how retail spaces in Lower Manhattan versus mm-hmm. Upper East Side, you know, what's going on with that market, understanding what's going on with office markets, even, you know, event spaces,
sure.
you know, or residential. You know, I think one of the great things about you know, my experience, but also, you know, I think I learn from my colleagues every day, mm-hmm. and I'm surrounded by some of the most brilliant people. And it is the access that I have to experts in every single market.
Sure.
So, you know, whenever I'm dealing with a client, most of the time it's under, at least recently, it's under precedence where, you know, they're in a situation that they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is to use all of my experts and try to figure out, okay, how do we restructure this? How do we figure out
right.
what is actually working in the market?
Right.
And it might be something that's absolutely out of this world that nobody's thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And we try it and we see if it works. You know, we'll make performers based off of things that we saw trending in Brooklyn. And, mm-hmm. and because, you know, there's certain similarities, you know, we'll try that and we'll see if it works. And so far, knock on, I think this is wood.
Yeah.
That's wood. Or maybe it's plastic. So far, so good. It's been, you know, pretty successful practice. Understand, you know, right now, like there's a lot of owner users that
mm-hmm.
are getting into the space that previously were in leasing, and you know, we do the math and we're like, okay, well, you know, it makes more sense to purchase something.
Right.
So I think it's just understanding the market as a whole to provide the best.
Yeah. Exactly. Knowledge is power, right? And then just making sure that you're surrounding yourself by the experts in the market and bringing them in. Sometimes people, maybe some of our listeners feel like this, they just want to do everything themselves, mm-hmm. right? When it's literally, again, relationship driven, mm-hmm. it's a phone call away. If you don't know something, reach out to someone, ask for help, and bring them in on something mm-hmm. and get creative at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't even tell you how many times I text Ryan and I'm like, hey, what are your thoughts on, you know, this branded or this, you know, and it's really awesome to have a team behind you.
Sure.
That's very diverse.
Of course, absolutely. So talk to me specifically about maybe one of your favorite transactions that you've done throughout your career. So why was it your favorite? What made it unique? Give our listeners a little insight.
So we recently put a building into contract.
Okay.
And what was very special about this, and not saying that, you know, we always do this, but this property was on the market for, I think, like 4 years. Six different brokers on the project, which, again, it's not uncommon for mm-hmm. the situation that we're in where, okay, you know, it hasn't worked. What other brokers are doing isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we list this building. And we went in with the most unique marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of the blasts, I got a response. And it was from one of the brokers who previously had the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he was like, good luck selling that. And I was like, okay, well, thank you. I was like, thank you so much. I gave him a call. And I'm always very... I love people. So I'm like, hey, like, thank you so much. You know, what's your take on it? And he's like, look, it's a hard sell.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, especially right now, the economy is even worse than mm-hmm. whenever he was trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, best of luck. I'm always here if you need something. I don't know if he said this last, but that's what I took from it. And long story short, I actually think it was because of Crexie. I found a buyer and the buyer is amazing. We used a very, very unique strategy to come up with a pro forma that was perfect for that area.
Okay.
And put it in contract, sent another marketing blast to that same database, and he called me and he's like, congratulations.
That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So just, again, all about the creativity, mm-hmm. all about making sure just because something has been on the market with a ton of different hands not being mm-hmm. sold doesn't mean that you won't be the person to, you know, ink a contract or ink a deal. So I love that story. And a buyer from Crexie. Amazing.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get into social media.
Mm-hmm.
Probably your, I think, hands down, maybe one of the best out there in the space that's on it. It's not really used from the commercial real estate perspective as much as it probably should be. So why are you prioritizing social media, self-promotion? You have an incredibly, you know, impressive following online, especially younger brokers starting on their journey. Do you have any specific strategies that have worked? Give us kind of a 30,000 foot overview on the whole thing.
Well, I think first in general, the commercial industry is so archaic when it comes to marketing.
Right.
And, you know, my job and any person's job is to put a property in front of as many eyes as possible.
Right.
Because you never know who's going to be a buyer.
Sure.
So that's the focus. It's always just expansion, expansion, expansion.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to my own personal my personal social media, I appreciate. Thank you for the accolade.
Of course.
You know, I think that it's been a mix of, you know, being myself, but also trying things out. So, you know, I started doing, I think I got my following by just sharing my life. So especially when I was doing these big projects, you know, we'd walk in and there'd be crazy mold, and then there'd be, you know, a ceiling that's collapsing. I mean, this is New York. Crazy things happen.
Right.
But the crazy brain in me is like, wow, this is nuts. Let me record this. Like, let me show what's going on. And I think it was through that a lot of people asked questions. You know, anytime there was anything going on with the buildings that I was handling, you know, I put it on social media, and I was like, hey, like, you know, this is what goes on. You know, this is my advice to you, you know, when it comes to anything. Like, you know, I just did this crazy deal. Here's the negotiation thing that worked. And it was just through stories. And I think a lot of people don't really utilize the story aspect because, actually don't know why, but I think it's more conversational. So I think utilizing stories and being really frequent on that is going to help drive a lot of trust. I think also, being yourself and kind of just showing parts of you, because I think that we're in this interesting wave of social media with real estate, where a lot of people are just rinsing and repeating, rinsing and repeating. And maybe it's just, you know, people that I'm following, but there's a lot of, you know, real estate tours, especially in residential mostly.
Right.
Where it's just, you know, same thing over. And if I am not somebody who is looking for, you know, a two-bedroom, for example, or if I'm not looking for a building, am I really going to watch the video? I don't know.
Right.
You know, I think that stimulation and keeping someone's attention, people's attention spans are starting to lower in general.
Sure.
So trying to figure out things that actually capture viewers, capture your demographic, but also just being yourself and being funny and just putting yourself out there. I think people resonate with that.
Yes.
And whenever they have an emotional connection with someone, they think about you a little bit more.
Yep.
So I think that's one of the ways that I've been able to stay top of mind to people that there's sometimes I calls that I get, and it'll be someone who, you know, there was one time, I think it was for NFT week or crypto week in Miami, and I had gone, and I remember I went to this one event, and I left because I had a real estate showing somewhere else, and I got back and they didn't want to let me in. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to argue with you guys.
Sure.
You know, I have better place to be. And I remember leaving, and as I'm leaving, some guy, super sweet, he was like, hey, he's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, you know, just whatever. He ended up being the creative director for the company, and I was like, okay, great, you know, we'll keep in contact. And 2 years later, he actually called me to sell a property of his.
That's amazing.
Just through, I think, just connecting with people through social media and just staying relevant, being funny, being vulnerable.
Right. Absolutely. I think you touched on a ton of good points that our listeners are probably grabbing into. First and foremost, commercial real estate hasn't really been in the wave of social media mm-hmm. and the wave of TikTok and using some of those trends. Mm-hmm. And if they are, it might be those property tours or things like that. And a lot of brokers are not necessarily going on there and doing self-promotion, right? Sometimes it's scary. It's scary to be vulnerable. It's scary to share your life or do some of that. Mm-hmm. And I really think, to your point, that's what makes people connect with you, right? As we were saying before, you can be impressive and show all these photos of things that you sold, but if you say, hey, I really messed up on this, someone might resonate a little bit more with it, right? If they're not a buyer right now, but they really love following your story or they hear what you're saying and kind of go through that, then when the time does come, you will stay top of mind. So Jade, what are some of your kind of advice maybe mm-hmm. to either some younger brokers mm-hmm. that are coming into commercial real estate, maybe want to start social media, mm-hmm. or even brokers that have been around for a while but haven't done this yet? So any advice to them that are starting out?
So I think there's a general, I think sometimes the general advice that people get is, you know, work for a team, mm-hmm. which I think is great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I think that if I was somebody who was delving into commercial real estate out of all industries and coming to New York, one mm-hmm. of the most difficult markets, I mean, mm-hmm. people smell blood and they, you know, they're sharks.
Yep.
So in order to not get eaten, I think that before going full time, I always suggest new brokers to work in-house somewhere mm-hmm. and gain some sort of competitive advantage.
Sure.
So whether it's contacts, mm-hmm. whether it's understanding how a building works, understanding how investors' minds work,
yep.
I think people need to work in-house. I think that's one of the best advices that I can give someone. Mm-hmm. I think also not being afraid to work for free and do a lot of favors. I think the first couple of years of my career, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. Like if I were to not get paid a cent and, or, you know, have any job in the world where I got paid the same, I would still be doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever you do favors for people and you actually care, I believe that it comes back to yep. you. And, you know, real estate and a lot of what we do is a relationship game.
Sure.
And, you know, it's figuring things out. It's relationships and it's figuring out the pieces to a puzzle. So, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you're getting started and you're early on, you know, you're hungry and you have this energy, like, do everything you can to provide value
yep.
And work in-house. Those are the mm-hmm. two pieces of advice that I would give someone.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, you know, especially starting out in commercial real estate as a broker, it's going to take a while to get your first deals in. But, you know, that's really the time where you need to be networking and you need to be, you know, people first centric and not so hungry about the deal or scared, right? Because people will smell blood and they'll bite you, right? Mm-hmm. So just making sure you're confident in yourself, surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. I mean, I think that's awesome advice right there, Jade. Thank you for sharing that. Moving on to our third topic today and getting more into the nuts and bolts of the current market happenings, we'd love to ask some questions about your perspective of commercial real estate today. So from your 30,000 foot overview, what does the current state of the commercial real estate market look like based on the types of clients that you work with? So are there certain shifts that are worthy of our attention? Mm-hmm. Is there some stuff that's just fluff out there? Give us kind of your 30,000 foot perspective.
So I think that there's a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think due to a lot of mortgages maturing,
right.
I think the value of office building unfortunately has gone down and mm-hmm. and it is what it is. I think we've seen it in New York plenty of times. And I think it's all about trying to find opportunity. So right now, honestly, I mean what I've been seeing is a lot of owner users. So a lot of people who either had office spaces mm-hmm. And then now they're like, you know what, we've crushed our last 2 years. We've crushed our last 4 years. Instead of getting another you know, another office floor. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just buy the building? So a lot of headquarters, a lot of nonprofits as well. Okay. So when a nonprofit buys a building, they do not have to pay tax on it, which mm-hmm. is creates for a very lucrative and smart strategy.
Sure.
I think one of the other things that I'm seeing is very new types of businesses coming to take advantage of commercial office spaces. So a mm-hmm. lot of people who are now making pro formas based off of event spaces, mm-hmm. which
yep.
currently, I mean, everyone is, everyone. You know, doing that. And you know, it's very good business. So mm-hmm. I think just staying on top and not being afraid to pivot when something's not working.
Sure.
That's one of the things that we've been trying to advise a lot of owners. But it's really interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I completely agree. So do you have any controversial thoughts or any maybe surprising thoughts about the current market that you'd like to share?
Well, okay. No, it's not a groundbreaking,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity. I think right now is the best time, and there's going to be a lot of people who are regretting not buying it during
mm-hmm.
this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scary. Of course it's scary. Like, but like if you have some money, like it's the best opportunity because one, New York always comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the city is doing so much to help off the office space market. And I think in maybe like 4 or 5 years time, we're going to look back and there's going to be a lot of people who've made a lot of money because of the risk that they took
Correct.
This year and next year, you know, taking advantage of the market whenever it's down.
Exactly. I hear that so much. I hear from some people that they're scared to move forward right now and they're holding or they're not moving forward or they're waiting for interest rates to go down. Mm-hmm. And I hear almost all of our brokers, you know, sometimes obviously the right situation, every client is going to be different, but the people who are willing to take the risk, it's definitely going to pay off, especially in a down market. So I love to hear that kind of advice. If anyone needs help, please reach out to Jade. We'll give her information at the end. But I love hearing that. That's powerful. What are your primary considerations when advising clients through the current economic times? So obviously people are coming to you. I love that you're saying if you have the capital, you are going to see the return. New York is so resilient, right? Mm-hmm. So in 4 or 5 years time, probably even sooner, they mm-hmm. are going to see, you know, economic conditions mm-hmm. just continue to improve. But what are your primary considerations when advising clients right now?
I think the best advice that I would give clients in general mm-hmm. is to not be afraid to pivot.
Yep.
So, you know, let's just say they purchase something and they planned to have it as an office building, and the office building is in an area that now has 1,000 different office spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not really getting that much traction.
Mm-hmm.
I think price reductions are always, you know, they suck, but, you know, they're always there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think just trying to come up with different creative strategies, you know, I think because we work in a wide range of subdivisions, so
sure.
retail, leasing, sales, residential, you know, we have another completely different, but our company does, you know, different events and here and there
mm-hmm.
and all these different things. You know, we kind of just always try to like, even like gauge people and we're like, hey dude, like, you know, what's going on? What are you seeing? And, trying to figure things out, but yeah, sorry, back to your question. I think being able to pivot, especially like, I think we've last like 2 years we've gotten so many different curveballs, so mm-hmm. for an owner who's not afraid to pivot and try to do things a little bit differently
sure.
from their initial plans typically turns out to be more beneficial than staying where they are if it's not working.
Right, right. Than staying rigid or on the plan mm-hmm. that they originally thought. So yeah. I love that. When life hands you lemons, you know, that's the saying. You got to make lemonade or pivot.
Yeah, there's also saying. So many different ways to right. add income to your property now. Like, you know, I think like storage spaces. Mm-hmm. Now we actually partner with a company who will pay for advertising spaces. So if you have like a retail, you know, if somebody's normally contracted with us, mm-hmm. You know, we'll connect them with certain parties so that they're making an extra, whatever it is, on just the glass frontage.
Sure.
Yeah, as advertising space. So we're really just trying to figure out how to help owners make the most amount of money as possible.
Amazing. I love to hear it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So in terms of any general advice for investors or your fellow brokers who might be listening on here, anything in general that you want to offer to anyone?
That's a good question. I mean, I think not being afraid to pivot is great. Mm-hmm. I think that mostly in commercial this is applicable, but I think that, you know, if you want something to move and if you want to get the highest price per square foot, whether you're talking leasing or sales, mm-hmm. I think that you have to market things properly. Like it's just, I mean, it's in the nicest words, sometimes it's embarrassing mm-hmm. to see how things are being done. And, you know, you're selling a gorgeous, you know, 6 million or 45 million, whatever it is. And, you know, to not even have photos when, you know, you have so many buildings on the market and an investor, you know, people looking at things, you know, sometimes like we've had one of the producers that we've worked with, you know, he found me through YouTube.
Mm. Again, with the yeah. social media.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you have a duty to your clients
yes.
to do the most amount of effort and strategic planning in order to get something sold. And, you know, if that's working with a company that is the most followed real estate brand in the world, you know, then, you know, you can shoot me a DM or something. But I think that would be my 2 cents on that.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful advice. And I take that in wholeheartedly.
Yeah, right?
Yes, absolutely. So given your background and expertise, I'm sure that our listeners would love to know your answers to a couple of rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, if you were given $50 million today and had to invest it immediately, what would your go-to asset type be, location, and why?
Soho live work lofts, like gorgeous, or either Soho or Broadway on 17th Street, so right north of Flatiron, like office retail component, at least 15 feet of frontage, but with $30 million, I'll be able to afford a lot more frontage. And then if I can have a roof with some air rights, I would probably put a billboard.
Yes, I love it. Let's get you $50 million today. Perfect answer. Second is, what's the craziest way you've found a new client? Either through social media, otherwise, give us the craziest story on the way that you found a new client.
Oh man, I thought I accidentally said this earlier, but I'll repeat it. It was whenever I didn't get into a party and you know, yep. it was yep. that one. But let me try to think of another one. I mean, I think how I meet a bunch of clients, like really, you know, I try to put myself in every sort of social setting. So yep. ARPA's, oh, actually, I know. So one of my friends was on a dating app and she met a guy, she didn't like him, whatever. During Art Basel, I think it was Art Basel, he got bored and he bought a yacht. So we went on it. He's a great person.
Great.
Didn't even put two and two, doesn't, you know, just save his contact. I was like, okay, great to meet you. Fantastic.
Sure.
Let me know if you need anything. Probably almost 2 years later, I'm at Ludlow House and I bump into him. And he ended up needing a place, introduced him to a few owners, you know, direct.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up securing him a very, very nice unit. It's very good. But he also, I mean, I was introducing him to different owners, and he introduces himself as, you know, the owner's like, oh, like, what do you do for a living? He's like, oh, I sell weed. And I'm like, number one, you don't. He owns a company called Cronos, which is a publicly traded company on the stock market.
Okay.
It's like the number one distributor for mm-hmm. Plants. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's not the way you introduce yourself.
Right.
But I think it just goes to say, like, you just never know who
you never know
a client's going to be, a friend's going to be. And he's probably one of the most amazing people, you know, very near and dear friend of mine now.
I love it. And just throughout this whole show, all of the advice that you're giving is you never know where you're going to find a client. You never know who a buyer is going to be. You never know what is going to be, you know, resonating to someone. So continuously put the content out there. Mm-hmm. Continuously, you know, save people's contacts. Save a little bit about them. Reach out if you think that there's something interesting that's going to mm-hmm. help them. And just be a good person in general, right? And then that all is going to come back to you. So
that's definitely
hugely what I'm taking away from this. And
yeah.
I absolutely love just being reminded of that and just seeing how successful that has made you and how we can all literally implement that into our lives.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
I appreciate it. It really is. I think the world is so, so small. And, mm-hmm. you know, the way that you treat the trash person is the way that you should be treating, you know, the CEO of a company. I think it's,
yep.
it really is about relationships and building it and just, you know, being a good person and being honest and getting creative and really trying to do things differently.
Absolutely. I love to hear it. So third, and I promise again, this is not a Crexy plug, but what is your favorite tool or software that you use on the job?
Crexy. That's like not even, that's
not even a question.
That's not even that's not a question.
I love it.
I mean, I think that it's really awesome that I'm able to pull so many contacts.
Right.
You guys are the reason that I'm so incredibly efficient when it comes to cold calling.
Yep.
Which my cold calls last for an hour because, you know, I just want to know someone's entire life story. But yeah, I think you guys do an incredible job at that. So thank you for, you know, doing what you guys do.
Of course. We're so happy to hear that. I hear it from people every single day, and it all the stories from you all is just amazing to continuously hear. So thank you for saying that, Jade.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, thank you.
No, thank you. Last question in our rapid fire. What is the most common misconception about your job or the industry in general?
Oh, well, I think it the industry in general is that I don't know how to say this. So it's very male dominated.
Yes.
You know, I think it's very male dominated. I think that there's a lot of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I touched on this earlier, but I really think that that's why a lot of deals don't get done. Like mm-hmm. when people work too much with their ego.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, you know, I'll get something done. Or sometimes, you know, a client will come to me after they've, you know, had a certain experience. And I think that it's, you know, what we do, it's a very small world, and our relationships, even with fellow brokers, are so important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not doing things with your ego, not being, can I curse on here?
Sure.
Not being a dick. You know, like it doesn't get things done. Like, you know, it's
right.
a disservice to your clients and
right.
and to your name. And it almost blows my mind how certain people are able to maintain their clientele
mm-hmm.
with, you know, a big ego on their head. You
right.
know, I think your job, whenever you enter this, is to provide the best value, and you need to understand and have like a little bit of a feminine touch. So I would say for more women to please enter commercial real estate.
Yes, I could not agree more. I mean, sales in general is just so male dominated, And then the commercial industry, you know, in commercial mm-hmm. real estate is also very male dominated. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion is, you know, if you have two people with the same skill set, the female is going to be a little bit better, maybe because we bring a little bit more of that empathy or emotion. We mm-hmm. can cut that out if we need to, but I'm just kidding.
I mean, but, we can.
You know, it is just making sure that we're treating everyone with respect, just as you said, and, you know, leave the ego at the door. We're all here to get a deal done. We're all here to advise our clients in the best way possible mm-hmm. and kind of leading with more of that listening, more of that empathy, more of that emotion, being yourself and your best self, I think is just going to win in every single moment.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, it's not to say that you're not going to fight and you're not going right. to utilize, you know, the niceness and, yeah. and try to fight for your client. And,
right.
you know, I think it's an art, not a science.
Yes, yes. There's still a lot of dog in this girl. I'll tell you that. There's a little, so there's still a lot of fight. Yeah. But, you know, it's the art of sales. It's the art mm-hmm. of communication, right? They don't say the science about it. So it's all about that, mm-hmm. you know, the way that you finesse everything and, you know, just being that good person at the end of the day. So I love hearing that. You've gave our listeners a ton of advice here. But before we wrap up and let you go, anything else that you want to say to our audience or to our listeners?
I mean, I think that, one, thank you. And I think Crexy is the most amazing website, app, database, functioning heartbeat to commercial investors and brokers. And I'm sure the mailman can find a use for Crexy. So thank you.
I love it.
You know, I think that the best piece of advice that I've gotten from, you know, investors and family members and dear friends has been, when there's blood in the streets, you buy. And and, you know, right now there's a lot of sharks, but, you know, when it comes to buying, sharks could also be superheroes. So you know, I think that there's always opportunity when it comes to the New York City market.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jade, thank you so much for sitting down with us. I know you're extremely busy, so we've absolutely loved this. Thank you again. If our listeners want to get in touch, how can they reach you? What is your social media, your tags, emails, anything? Give it to us.
Okay, great. So my email is jade@sirhan.com. That's J-A-D as in dog, E as in elephant, @sirhan.com. If you want to have more of a personal touch, they can always DM me on Instagram.
Perfect. Give us your handle.
My handle is Jade Schenker, Schenker with an E, not an A, S-H-E-N-K-E-R. And then you can also shoot me a text. You know, I love people. You know, I think that I always try to be as accessible as possible, but I would say those are the two best forms to reach me.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Visit go.crexy.com/podcast and sign up to get the very next episode delivered straight to your inbox. You can also subscribe to the Crexy podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexy for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, and we'll see you next time.